This is People Are Interesting, episode 1.
Hi,
and with me is Liz.
Don't
say hi, Liz.
What, should I just say hi, Ahmed?
No,
this is too meta for me.
This is the... Okay.
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 Game time.
Game time.
So what do you want to ask me?
I want to ask you lots of things.
Okay.
I want to ask you 3 things.
Okay.
We're going to build. We're going from your childhood to your adolescence to your adulthood.
Ooh.
Ooh, I know. When you were a child.
Okay.
I want to know, I feel like you have, like, a Halloween costume that you were super, super proud of. I feel like when you were a kid, there was that one costume you were like, oh my god, this is the shit. Right?
I think I had a couple of those.
Tell them.
Okay.
Give them to me.
Well, in third grade, I was a playing card. I was the 4 of spades. Why is that funny?
Why were you so excited about being the 4 of spades?
I don't know. I just picked 4 of spades. I don't know why.
That was your favorite card as a child?
No. I mean, I just picked that for the costume. It was completely arbitrary. But,
How were you a card, though?
I had black leggings and a black turtleneck, and, I got 2 of those big foam boards, and I made them like a sandwich board, you know, over my shoulders. And then we printed out like the big spades and then the number 4 and like pasted them on. And then we painted my face all white, but then I had a spade over my nose. So in retrospect, I sort of looked like a skeleton, but I was playing when I didn't have the sandwich board.
Wait, if there were 4 spades on the costume and then a spade on your face, wouldn't you be the 5 of spades?
No, because the one on my face wasn't on the fucking card.
But you were part of the card.
No, I was the spirit of the card. I don't know. It made sense thematically. My parents let me get away with it. I was 8, so, you know, what the fuck ever.
Were your siblings other cards?
No.
No.
This was the costume I wore to school. I was at St. John Vianney Catholic School, and then we had a big costume parade. You know, like, classes got out early so we could have a big costume parade around the parking lot, you know?
Yeah.
With, like, music, and then we, like, bobbed for apples, and the parents took pictures and everything. And,
So wasn't the costume you went out with?
I don't remember what I went trick-or-treating with. I think I might have just been a clown trick-or-treating. I don't know. But, I honestly don't remember. My mind's, like, a blank spot for that Halloween.
But you remembered the 4 of spades.
Yeah, because I wore it to school, but then I couldn't wear the sandwich board in my desk. I, like, sat down at the desk, and I was like, well, fuck, you know, making a lot of noise. So I had to take it off and, like, lay it on the floor next to me, and then whenever I got up, like, to go sharpen my pencil, I would put the sandwich board back. I think I had a lot of help on that one, though. The costume that was all me, that I made it myself, was my wolf costume in 6th grade.
What did you put together for the wolf costume?
Well, I had gray sweatpants and a gray sweatshirt and a little hood with ears, with wolf ears. Uh-huh. And then I made a tail out of the same kind of heather gray, you know, the kind of,
yeah,
that gray that workout clothes are made out of.
Sweatpant gray.
Yes.
We all know the color sweatpant gray.
It's more of a pattern, really. But I made a tail and I pinned the tail to my butt. And then I have my little ears, and then I painted my face like a wolf in, like, elaborate wolf pattern. And I had a little, I had gray socks on my hands for paws, and then I had a little sign around my neck that said, save the wolves, or maybe preserve the wilderness. I can't remember. I'd have to go check my parents' photo albums to see what it says.
So essentially you were a charity for Halloween.
I was, you know, I was into the environment, save the earth, you know, 90s kids.
How old were you?
6th grade. I was like 11, 12.
This was like Fern Gully age.
God, if I was 12 when I dressed up like a wolf, that was the same year I got my first period. That's a weird costume to wear that year.
Did you get it while you were wearing your costume and trick-or-treating?
No, it's just, I feel like there's a big maturity divide. But I don't know.
Was that your last Halloween dress-up ever? You're like, well, got my period, no more costumes.
No, I don't remember if I dressed up as anything in 7th and 8th grade. I was Tina Turner in 9th grade, which is funny because I'm white.
Did you, wait, like, big hair Tina Turner?
Yeah, I had the wig, I had a little, like, dress and high heels and, like, a nylon, so my aunt put eyeliner on me, but I kind of didn't get that that no one knew I was Tina Turner, because I'm white.
What did people think you were?
I don't know, like, a glam rocker. A Bon Jovi groupie.
You were Gary Glitter for Halloween that year.
I don't really know what Gary Glitter looks like, but I always imagine him having, like, big man boobs. Because I know he's, like, a kid toucher.
He is.
I imagine him having, like, big man
boobs.
Was
he a kid toucher, or was he just the kid touch owner? Like, I think he just owned the... That's a weird way to phrase it.
He had a rent boy.
Yes, he had a rent boy. Oh, my God. I can't believe you... This is so... Wait. You were Tina Turner. You were a clown at some point. You were
a
wolf.
I was also a leopard when I was really little.
You were a leopard. You were a wolf that wanted to save other wolves.
Yes.
That you're most proud of, the Four of Spades.
I'm not saying I was more proud of that than, like, the wolf costume. I'm just saying those are the costumes I remember the most. Oh, I was a bee in 4th grade.
A bee?
A bee. My mom made me a bee costume.
Aw.
It was kind of cute. It sort of made me look like the girl in that one Blind Melon music video. You know?
Yes.
I need to buy that costume again so I can take a picture of myself in it.
What's...
And then be like, hey, internet, all I can say is that my life is pretty funny.
I would just like to mention
so rad.
That everyone always refers to that one Blind Melon video, but that's the only one people know. I don't think anyone knows any other
I'm
Blind
Melon. I'm pretty sure
Melon.
The guy from Blind Melon died, like, right after their first hit came out. I don't know. Don't quote me. I don't know for sure.
Time to Wikipedia it. And by that, I mean go on Wikipedia and say he's dead if he's not.
He reads his own Wikipedia page and he's like, what?
It's like, I died?
Well.
Yes. That'd be funny if the lead singer of Blind Melon was Keanu Reeves. It was like, whoa.
Maybe he is in The Matrix.
What was the name of his band? Dogstar?
Yes.
I feel like that was when we were in high school.
It was. I remember their hit being on the radio right around the time when I was listening to a lot of radio.
They did not have a hit.
Yeah, they did. But he wasn't the singer, though. He was just the bass player. I could sing you the chorus right now, but I'm not going to.
Okay. That's fine. I know us both well enough to know that we can't sing.
Okay. Another good Halloween costume of mine was my sophomore year of high school. I didn't wear it to school, but I wore it to my youth group fall festival because they were very not into the Halloween thing because they were Pentecostal and super religious. And my boyfriend was there, and I wanted to be, like, a sexy kitty for him, but it was a church thing, and I didn't own any sexy clothes, so I had, like, a knee-length black skirt and nylons and, like, a short-sleeve black t-shirt where the neckline came up to, like, my throat, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, kitty ears and shit.
How'd that go over?
Well, considering this guy, like, never touched me in the 4.5 months we were dating, probably about as well as anything ever went over with him.
No one at the school was, like, judging you for being too sexy or anything?
Well, it wasn't at school. It was at youth group. It was at church.
Oh, yeah. You didn't go to church school.
Yeah. Not at that point. Not at that point. Not in high school.
Was anyone else dressed up for your fall thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
The dudes all dressed up like West Point cadets because they were army doofuses. And then my one friend who we were just talking about earlier, Miss Bitchy McBig Boobs, didn't dress up as anything.
She just dressed up as her big boobs.
Yeah, she was Barbie. I don't know, that was mean.
And you were a sexy kitty.
I don't mean it. A quote-unquote sexy kitty.
A knee-length skirt.
Like, yeah, cat sound.
Roar.
Meow.
Gosh, you must have been so happy to go to high school. All right, adolescence.
Oh, okay.
Unless you have any other embarrassing costumes.
Well, I wore the kitty ears and tail to West Potomac junior year, but just, like, with my regular jeans and t-shirt.
For what? Just regular Halloween?
Yeah, it was Halloween, but I was, like, the only person in the whole school who wore anything, so I was like, fuck this.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Story of my life. And I pinned the kitty ear to my underwear, too. the tail.
Oh, I was like, wait, what?
And then Keith Draper pulled on it, and, like, my undies, like, gave me a wedgie, but also, like, wadded up outside my pants.
I don't know who that is. You know, I feel like you kind of know where the adolescence is going to be.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, go ahead.
I want to know your embarrassing music tastes in high school.
Why are you even asking me this? You already know.
I know.
Oh, but the internet doesn't know. Hi, internet.
Hi, internet. Because you played guitar.
In the loosest sense of the word.
Well, you played it well.
No, I didn't. You just think that because you know nothing. I brought my guitar to school because I thought it would get guys to, like, think I was cool. No, I brought my guitar to school because I thought it would get me attention. I thought guys would think I was a cool rocker chick and then, like, show me their underwear, so.
And did that work?
No.
Not once?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Mm-mm. I think the few guys who did like me in spite of the fact that I played guitar. But yeah, I guess my two big bands in high school were, my two big bands that I was completely unabashedly fans of and just wasn't even aware of how uncool I sounded to all these cool worldly punk rockers that I was friends with when I talked about them was Bon Jovi,
yeah,
of course, which you knew, and the Goo Goo Dolls.
The Goo Goo Dolls?
Yeah, you know I love the Goo Goo Dolls.
I did not know because
I had a big crush on the blonde guy, and he looks weird now because he's had some kind of plastic surgery, and he's like a born-again Christian now, which... You can tell because all their songs after Dizzy Up the Girl started to suck.
Everyone knows as soon as you accept Christianity into your life, your music quality just goes down.
Yeah.
Nah.
Just ask Head from Korn.
Is he still doing anything?
I don't fucking know.
It doesn't matter.
Just ask Marilyn Manson. He's born again.
I'm surprised you were into the Goo Goo Dolls because you hated Iris.
No, I didn't. You must be mixing up with someone else. I loved Iris.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I played it. I knew how to play it on guitar.
Give me the rundown of the songs you could play on the guitar.
Like, two entire Goo Goo Dolls albums.
Oh my god.
And, yeah, A Boy Named Goo and Dizzy Up the Girl, which were my favorites until, like, 6 years ago when I figured out that everything the Goo Goo Dolls did before Dizzy Up the Girl was a Replacements ripoff, and the Replacements were much better, and then everything after Dizzy Up the Girl, like, was complete trash.
Yeah.
I still think Dizzy Up the Girl is a pretty good album. I don't care who knows that I think that. But,
You stand by your convictions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still pretty listenable. But, and then I could play Wanted, Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi.
Awesome. Do you think you could still play it?
Probably not.
Oh.
Maybe if I looked at the tablature. I could play A Favor House Atlantic by Coheed and Cambria, which is sort of way above my skill level. I just practiced it that much.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you probably don't.
No. You don't listen to enough Coheed.
Coheed! You can read their comics, too. It's like the worst comics ever made. Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, zero listeners.
I just looked at the computer when I said that, too. Oh, and I could play a couple of Third Eye Blind songs.
Oh, my God. Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, Deep Inside of You.
That you was were like a Third Eye Blind fan?
Yeah, I still think their first album's pretty okay.
So, basically, you were really into, like, the radio alt rock stuff.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like,
you sound like you're trying to make me feel bad about it.
No.
Because I do, believe me. I mean,
no.
Hey, listeners, you know what I listen to now?
So much punk rock.
Fucking Endangered Feces all over this shit.
And Kesha.
Fucking, just that one song.
Just learn the tablature to Kesha's
Your Love Is My Drug. You can't even play that on guitar.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah, you probably could. I haven't picked up my guitar in years.
Well, whatever.
I don't even remember how to play it.
No, I'm not making fun of you for listening to that alt rock stuff, because I was really into that, too. Like, yeah. I know all the songs you're talking about.
I mean, at 17, you kind of have a license to have terrible taste, so I try not to beat myself up too much about it.
It's not like at 17 you understood that there's more music beyond the radio. You were either, in high school, you were either the kid that listened to the radio, or the kid who was like, man, the radio sucks. There's so much better music out there. And then when someone's like, show me it, they're like, no.
I guess. I mean, I didn't make any real friends, you know, until like my senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And all like you. And
where
all,
we met.
Yeah. Yay. And all those people, you know, had kind of the cool, more, you know, the cool people kind of tastes and like... less mainstream stuff, and I didn't start learning about that stuff until they started introducing me. So I was kind of a late bloomer culturally, but that was because I had no friends.
Yeah, me too.
Dry your tears, internet. I'm okay now.
Yeah.
Little tiny violins behind me while I'm talking.
In high school, I just remember people would be referencing bands that weren't on the radio, and I'd be like, there are bands not on the radio.
See, I thought you knew all them, but...
No, they wouldn't share. Like, at most, they'd be like, the Ramones, and I'd be like, oh, cool, the Ramones, and I'd listen to them, and it's like, man, the Ramones are awesome. Who else is punk rock music? And everyone else would just be like, whatever, you're a poser, you like the Ramones. Because that's the high school attitude,
yeah,
I feel like.
It definitely is.
It's very, like, once you get into our culture, we won't really accept you.
Well, let's make it clear that we're not holding a grudge against all these people.
No.
That's just how high school is. I don't know, you might be. You hold grudges forever.
I do hold grudges forever. But no, that's just a general statement on just high school kids.
Well, and you were cool because you were into hip-hop when before a lot of other people were, you know?
I don't know.
Am I completely wrong about that? I always
no,
thought that
you No, I think you just didn't know any black people.
Maybe, except you.
Except me. No, I mean,
I didn't even know you were black then.
I didn't. I only just found out I was black.
Boy, people listening to this are going to be super confused about that.
I am part black. No, but,
soundbite of the millennium. I am part black.
But, no, I listened to rap music because, growing up, I was friends with a bunch of Spanish people, and then I moved to Alexandria, where I became friends with a lot of black people, and they were into rap music. But they never really accepted me, and so I was kind of lost.
Yeah, I know how that was.
Group-wise. And then I started doing drama, and which is full of white people.
Yeah.
And they accepted me, so I just kind of started listening to... I still listen to a lot of rap, but I still started listening to a bunch of, like, punk rock and regular rock.
Yeah. Well, you know, punk is kind of the music of, like, alienated suburban white kids, and hip-hop is more the music of, like, disenfranchised black kids, you know?
Yeah. And I was both.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
So, it's... But it was funny because when I started drama, I would listen to rap, and everyone else would be like, what? What is this? Except Kevin.
Yeah.
Who listened... Him and I got along because he listened to rap music, too.
Yeah. Biggie.
Like Biggie. And Busta Rhymes.
P.
P?
Master P.
Oh. Like, I thought you meant, like, P. Diddy. I was like, what?
No.
There are too many P's in rap.
P is in urine.
Oh, my God.
That would be a good name. P. Urine.
P as in urine. Okay, so we've passed your embarrassing high school music taste.
Yeah.
No, actually, let's go back for a second and talk about Bon Jovi.
Oh, God.
No, because I've always wondered.
I'm never going to live this down.
Well, you know what? I don't even care. I still like old Bon Jovi. I don't give two fucks who knows.
Well, everybody likes Living on a Prayer, but, you know, that song was, like, written by committee, you know?
Well, yeah.
It was made to sell Pepsi to 80s teenagers.
It's not like people that like Bon Jovi don't know that he's just the worst, the worst version of Bruce Springsteen ever. Like, we
God,
all
that's
know
like
it.
An insult to Bruce Springsteen. I mean, they're both from New Jersey, but I
exactly.
think they can
well,
still the coincidence there.
That was the thing. Like, Bruce Springsteen came out, and everyone's like, yeah, New Jersey, Bon Jovi, right? And then...
Take it away, Bon Jovi!
Yeah. It's like...
And then they're like... I can't even think of, like, the worst possible Bon Jovi song. This ain't
a love
song.
That's the one I was thinking of, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hold you.
I feel like,
please you.
I feel like he got famous because he accidentally opened for Bruce Springsteen once.
At the Stone Pony.
I guess. I don't know. Is that a thing?
Asbury Park, yes.
Okay. No, just because I like Bruce Springsteen and Bon Jovi doesn't mean I know anything about
their
history.
I used to be a behind-the-music junkie, so.
Me too. But I don't remember anything. I have a terrible memory.
Oh.
Yeah.
You ever watch the one for Everclear? Super sad.
No.
Courtney Loves is hilarious.
I can't believe Everclear is a band you remembered.
So? I like Everclear. Or I did. I feel like I revisited some of their stuff. Like, a friend made a huge mix of, like, a bunch of their music, and I re-listened to it lately, and I was like, man, this kind of doesn't hold up.
No. Nothing we liked as teens really holds up. if you think about it.
I don't
it.
Know. I think Beavis and Butthead holds up.
Well, that's not a song.
Oh. Mm.
I feel like Everlong holds up really well. Most Foo Fighters stuff holds up really well.
I kind of hate the fucking Foo Fighters, so.
Well, I kind of fucking hate Nirvana. How about that?
I don't like Nirvana that much either.
Great.
Great. Wonderful. I guess we agree. I don't know. I still listen to, like, the Alkaline Trio a lot. Maybe you don't know who that is. I don't know.
No, not really. Well, I've heard of them. Anyways, how does a Bon Jovi fandom start?
It's My Life. They made their big comeback with the It's My Life song on the radio, and I was like, wow, I love this song. I've got to hear more. And then I saw their Behind the Music on VH1 in, like, I was, like, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, so cool. Like, Living on a Prayer, you know, and, like, You Give Love a Bad Name. I was like, oh, that sounds, you know, it's so anthemic. That's exactly what I want to be listening to right now. And all my friends, like, and I bought the CD Crossroads, which was their greatest hits album to that point. And I, like, snuck it. I bought it at the PX, and I snuck it home because I thought my parents would be mad. I thought it was so edgy. And then my dad saw it, and he was like, oh, Bon Jovi, ew. Even my dad was like, oh,
so what's worse? Your parents finding out you're listening to something and being, like, disappointed because it's, like...
They're like, this is the devil's music? Or them being disappointed because it's lame?
Yeah. I feel like...
Probably the second one.
Probably, yeah. Because my mom hated everything I listened to. But if she ever looked down and saw that I was listening to, like, The Monkees, she'd be like, ugh, you're not my son.
Ay pues.
Ay pues, indeed. My mom's favorite catchphrase.
Placida, por qué?
My mom's favorite catchphrase besides calling me a butt face in Spanish.
How do you say that again?
Cara de puto.
Cara de puto. I love that your mom calls you buttface.
I love it, too. It's endearing, if not totally insulting. But, that's so weird. I think it's funny that you snuck in Crossroads to your house.
Meanwhile, my brother was listening to, like, Limp Bizkit and Blink-182, like, at around the same time, and those actually had, like, the parental advisory stickers on them, so.
And they didn't care?
I think more they just kind of gave up. They're like, whatever, boys will be boys, you know?
Too bad you were born a girl.
Too bad.
Sucker.
Whatever, I'm happy I got titties. You wish you had titties like me.
Why? I'm a guy.
Fat titties.
Oh my god, we're adults. We are adults.
It's true, I'm 26.
I'm 26 too. So take that.
Ooh, my husband's going to be 27 next week.
Ooh.
Which means I'm going to be 27 real soon. I don't know if I'm okay with that.
Perfect segue into adulthood.
Into Amy Winehouse dying?
No. Let's talk about that dead bitch.
Oh my god, that's so mean.
I don't mean that.
Yeah, but she joined the 27 Club.
That I hate.
Okay, moving on.
I hate that that's a thing.
Okay.
It's like, whatever. We can... I mean, come on. Like, why are we going to celebrate the fact that these people unfortunately died because of their addictions?
No one's celebrating it. It's just,
If you're making a 27 Club, that's a celebration.
Not everyone in the 27 Club died from addiction. Mia Zapata was murdered.
Yeah, that's why no one really
counts. I guess everybody else died of addiction.
Yeah.
I'm like, Kristen Pfaff, Robert Johnson, that guy from the Rolling Stones... The guy from The Grateful Dead.
I guess
all drugs.
I guess not Kurt Cobain. Jesus. Adulthood. Because you mentioned your hubby.
Yay.
Who's an awesome dude.
He is.
And I remember when you got married.
And you almost cried.
And I almost cried.
Until you saw the fly crawling around on my dad's bald head.
I'm going to link that comic when I post this podcast. Because that needs to be seen. A very true story of what happened at your wedding.
Yes.
But, how long was it between engagement and marriage?
I mean, we pretty much decided we were going to get married, like, super early in our relationship, you mm-hmm. know? We just kind of clicked that fast. There was about a year and a couple months between us telling my parents and his parents that we were getting married and the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But long before that, we had it in mind, like, yes, we both probably want to get married someday if things don't seem like they're... Like, that would be a bad idea, you know?
If things don't go to shit, let's get married.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like that's everyone.
It's pretty much worked out for us so far. I mean,
it has.
Our 3-year wedding anniversary is the week after John's birthday, so like 2 weeks from now. And then in November, we'll have been together for 6 years. And we've known each other for like 10 years, so.
Oh, yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I met him before I met you, actually.
Yeah. And we've known each other like 8 years now.
Closer to 9, I think.
Probably. Whatever. Oh, yeah, because our 10-year anniversary is like next year of high school.
No, it's the year after.
Whatever.
Okay, and who cares? Moving on.
So that 1 year, couple months period of planning a wedding.
Oh God, it was such a nightmare.
I want to hear about that nightmare because I can't even imagine. Because when I assume I'll get married one day, I feel like the idea of planning a wedding is just like, let's rent a church, invite some people, and that's it. But I feel like seeing you go through the actual thing was so much more complicated.
Well, not to harsh on my parents on the internet here, but I think it would have been like that if my parents hadn't been involved and if they hadn't been so invested in the wedding. See, the thing is, they learned we were getting married at the same time they learned that I was moving out, mm-hmm. which they were super mad about. I mean, I was 22. It's not like I was running away from home.
Right.
But they thought I wasn't ready to move out. So they got, you know, they were really mad at me. They weren't speaking to me for a couple of weeks. They thought I was dropping out of school, even though I wasn't. And they wouldn't believe me when I told them I wasn't. So our relationship was really strained.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they weren't speaking to me until John had a sit-down talk with my dad about, like, my intentions with your daughter are good.
Scary.
Oh, man. The balls on that guy. You wouldn't believe it. Joey was waiting in the Starbucks' backup, though. He was, like, John and my dad were sitting on the patio outside of Starbucks, and Joey was inside waiting for a signal from John. He was, like, John's getaway vehicle. But, no, they had a really good talk, and they actually talked about, like, personal stuff that my dad's never talked to me about, like my dad's relationship with my mom, which I think is cool. And I think my dad's opinion of John changed so much that day, I think, because he got to know him and was like, wow, okay, I can actually respect this kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders. And I think he understood that I wanted to marry John because I saw the qualities in John that made my dad a good husband and father, you know? So... So our relationship was kind of strained. John helped patch it up a little bit, so my parents started talking to me again. They were like, well, we've got to start planning this wedding. And my mom was really, she kind of took over, you know, I think because she didn't trust me not to be a slob about it. Because let's face it, I was looking super crusty at this point in my life. I mean, I still do, but, you know, I had like a ratty mohawk and shit, and I was, you know.
Yeah.
I was a scummy little punk rocker, and my husband was too, and she was like, no, family, this is the first wedding on either side of the family. Our whole family's going to be here, and you're going to look nice, goddammit. So she kind of...
It must have been nice to have that taken over by someone else.
You'd think so, but no, because we fought about everything, from the dress to the location to the invitations.
The invitations? What's the fight about the invitations?
You know how there's a little black ribbon? It was pink, and the colors were pink and black.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a struggle for me to get the black in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, did she just want it to be just pink? Or did she just hate black?
I think she thought pink and black was too wild or something. But,
well, it was a punk rock wedding.
Sort of. I don't know, me and John look pretty dorky in the pictures with our square-ass haircuts. John didn't take his earrings out for it, though. My mom was like, you're going to make John take his earrings out, right? And I was like, no, I'm not going to make him do anything. You want him to take his earrings out? You can talk to him about it. But, like, my bridesmaid, Steph, my mom, like, basically called her up and said, you're changing your hair color because you can't have pink hair at this wedding. I mean, I understand. I'm not trying to make my mom look bad.
No.
Because my mom's a sweet lady, and
yeah,
she didn't get to have a wedding of her own. And I was kind of, you know, I didn't want a big to-do. I was just like, as long as I get married to John, I really don't give a fuck. You know, I have some ideas about what I want my dress to look like because I don't want to look like a dork. But, you know, whatever. All I care about is that me and John are going to be together and that I'll have health insurance. But
the most important thing, really.
Well, no.
No, yeah.
But I don't know. It was just, we struggled about a lot of things. And then my mom was like, you're not engaged enough in this planning. And I was like, because I don't care.
But, oh, for a second I thought you meant, like, you're not engaged enough. Like, you don't have enough engagement rings.
No. But like, she would say, like, well, what about this for the food? And I'd be like, yeah, sure, that sounds great. And then she'd be like, why don't you care enough? But,
I don't even remember the food, do you?
No.
Yeah.
The whole day is kind of a blur to me, and I wasn't even drunk past, like, the first 5 minutes of the ceremony. I took major shots, like, getting ready to walk down the aisle.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was so nervous being up there in front of everybody that, like, all that liquid courage just kind of evaporated in, like, the first 3 minutes of the altar.
Yeah.
It was a nice day, though.
It was a beautiful wedding.
Thank you.
And then, we all got smashed.
Yeah. It was almost in, I told you about the whole thing with us going through the, man, I'm, like, really close to your face right now, huh?
I didn't even notice until right now.
Oh, okay, sorry. I told you about the whole deal with the church, though, right?
No.
My dad wanted us to get married in the Catholic Church.
Uh-huh.
So we were going to get married through Good Shepherd, the church my parents go through, which is part of the Diocese of Arlington, who suck.
Virginia, what?
Yeah, so they told us we couldn't have the wedding outside of the actual church building. So we were like, well, I guess we're stuck at this venue, and then we'll move the reception someplace else. Like, my mom was like, well, let's have the reception at Mount Vernon. So that was the initial plan. And you go through this thing called the pre-canna. Since marriage is a sacrament, mm-hmm. you, like, meet with the priest who's going to be marrying you. And you talk, you know, it's sort of like premarital counseling, you know? And there was this thing, it was like a couple's retreat where we'd have to go out to, like, the Dulles Airport, and it's sort of like a convention with other married
couples.
Oh
my God,
and
why?
And we would be separated for the whole weekend. So basically we'd have to take off work. It cost $800 per person.
What?
So $1,600 for the both of us to go through this. And John was like, so we need the certificate we get from this to get married. And the guy was like, eh, it's not a big deal. What you learn there is kind of hit or miss. And John's like, but we need this to get married. He's like, yeah, I can't marry you without that $1,600 certificate. So that was a big, like, oh, God, we don't have the money for this. And I really don't want to ask my parents for that much money when they're paying for the wedding already, which they insisted on. I was really like,
well,
I want
father of the bride.
Yeah, but I wanted it to be cheap, and I didn't, you know, I was trying to assert my independence by moving out, and I really didn't want to feel like I owed them money.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so there was that, which me and John were like, God, we can't do this. But then the meeting after that with the guy, he was like, so let's see where we stand on children. And me and John were like, you've heard this part, right?
No.
Me and John were like, well, we're not sure. We think maybe we'll adopt someday. I mean, you know, it's in the future. He's like, well, you can't adopt. I mean, you can, but you have to have your own children too, right?
Oh my God.
And we were like, we don't know. We might just adopt. We're not sure yet. And he's like, you have to agree to because, and he's talking to us like trying to be cool priest and all, but he's like, listen guys, the white race is falling behind. You really have a duty. And John's hand like went on my knee, like in a claw. He was like, okay, don't freak out until we get to the parking lot. And we were like, okay, well, good night. And we were both in the parking lot like, holy shit, what the fuck just happened?
Please tell me that, like, he just inferred that.
No, he said that. He
oh,
said the,
no.
He used the words the white race, and we were like, oh, my God, let's get out of here. And finally, we talked to my dad. We were like, listen, we know that you want us to get married in the church, but we can't do this. And my parents actually didn't get married in the church. Excuse me. They didn't get married in the church at first. They got married, and then when they came back stateside, they went through counseling post-marriage with the church and then mm-hmm. got their certificate. So we were like, well, we'll just do that when we're not in the Diocese of Arlington, which makes things really difficult for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad was really cool about it. He was like, all right.
You tell him the race thing?
No. I mean...
Because that would have probably made him the coolest about it.
Yeah, but we figured why explain more than we have to.
That's true.
But yeah, that was a nightmare.
That's bananas.
My dad recently revealed to me that my mom's dad, who's racist, my dad's father-in-law was super mad that they got married on Cinco de Mayo.
It's barely even a real holiday in Mexico.
I know. My dad's like, olé. But no. So what we ended up doing, my parents' neighbor, who's a super cool guy named Vince. He's Irish. He has an Irish accent.
Nice.
He was a priest, and he left the priesthood to marry a woman who was terminally ill. with cancer. And then they got married, even though he thought that she wouldn't be recovering. And she made a miraculous recovery.
Nice.
And they had kids together and stuff. So he left the priesthood, but he can still perform legally binding marriages. He did it kind of Catholic style. I don't know if you know much about Catholicism, so that probably went over your head at the ceremony. So it kind of fit with the whole lapsed Catholic atmosphere of the wedding. And we had it at the Unitarian Church.
I do remember that.
Yeah, we had it outside in the middle of August, but surprisingly it wasn't, like, super hot out. So it was a really nice...
If you got married in the middle of August this year, I probably wouldn't have gone.
Yeah, you'd have been like, fuck y'all.
Yeah, I'll this send is a too gift. Hot. Yeah.
No, but it turned out really nice. I mean, I guess overall I'd say that if it had been just me and John putting our wedding together, it would have been very different. But I don't regret the way it turned out at all. You know, my parents were super happy. I don't think I've ever seen my dad smile that much at one time ever. Yeah. Aw.
Until he talked to me.
Well, that's just you.
Yeah.
But no, we had a... It was a nice time. There was a lot of family there that I hadn't seen in years. I was like, who the fuck is that blonde kid? And then I realized he was my cousin, who I hadn't seen since before he hit puberty.
The only family I remember of yours being there, besides your immediate family...
It was my hot cousins.
No, not even your hot cousins, even though you did have hot cousins there. I remember that, but kind of like as the general blob of hot cousinry. But... I remember seeing your really, really tall cousin.
Oh, yeah. I have
the tall lady.
My mom's side of the family is super tall.
Like, she was big.
She's like 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, she plays basketball.
Oh, well, no wonder.
Yeah.
She has to.
Well, she's not tall because she plays basketball. And you don't have to play basketball if you're tall. I mean, I'm sure fucking, like, Tyra Banks didn't play basketball or whatever.
She did.
Oh, she did? No. Yeah.
Face.
Shut me up.
How about that?
Smiles.
She smiled all over that basketball court. No, but that was quite a laugh right there. I'm going to edit that portion out and send it to you.
You're just going to like repeat it so this whole hour-long podcast is just me laughing like a dork.
Yes. Throughout the entire thing.
Are you off today? Do you have to go to work? Because it's like noon.
I have to go to work soon, yeah. But,
listen to this over again. I just wanted to hear us talking.
I was going to end this soon because we covered all three topics. Your Four of Spades.
Yay.
Your love of Dizzy Up the Girl.
It would have been great if I was the Ace of Spades because then I could be like, yeah, I was in a Motorhead before all the other kids were in a Motorhead.
Nice. You were close.
That's the way I like it, baby. I don't want to live forever.
I just think it's really funny that your favorite card at one point, and you had a favorite
it
card.
It wasn't my favorite card.
Definitely, if you picked it out of nowhere and were it for Halloween, it was your favorite card.
God, it was arbitrary. Why don't you believe me?
Because that's too esoteric, as you would say.
I was addled by the California sun. Is it not pronounced esoteric?
It's esoteric.
Oh,
esoteric. You pronounce it esoterically.
It's not esoteric.
On that note, we have to go.
Esoteric.
Say goodbye, Liz.
Goodbye, Liz.
This has been People Are Interesting. Would be.
Is there, like, pepper in this cheese or something?